Ladies and gentlemen, today marks a new day for the state of Missouri. For too many years, politics and partisanship have stood in the way of progress. And the people of Missouri, they're tired of it. The only way we'll meet the needs of Missouri families is by working together, putting our shared principles ahead of our political differences. Today, we stop thinking about what should have been, and we start creating a future we all deserve.
My name is Scott Fawn, the publisher of the Missouri Times. I want to welcome you to a very special project we've worked on, a retrospective on the career of Missouri's 55th governor, Jay Nixon. Governor Nixon was kind enough to spend about 6 hours talking with us about his career, all the way back from DeSoto, through the state senate, and through being governor. We're very proud to be able to offer this to you. Our first segment is about Governor Nixon's life before he was in elected politics, DeSoto, the University of Missouri, and some other topics. The next part will be about his time in the state senate as attorney general. It will be out tomorrow. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this look back in the last 30 years of Missouri political history.
I want to first of all thank you, Governor, for agreeing to do this. I think it's hopefully it's something that people will be able to look back and have an interesting record of your time in office and a kind of a picture of Missouri for those 8 years and really 30 years. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I appreciate your all's day-to-day work covering our state. I think it's one of the things, when I started in office, even as governor, St. Louis Post-Dispatch and the Kansas City Star still had metro pages and that would cover state news and the process around state news. And I do think that your organization has taken and filled a significant void out there of what's happening daily and stay in the mix of it as opposed to just hunting for what can get me on the front page on a Sunday. And so I thank you for making the investments you've made and for putting together the organization you have. I think it serves the state.
I really appreciate that. And just put a little context in, there's only three men that have completed two terms as governor for 100 years or more. It's a Warren Hearns from down the Boot Heel, John Ashcroft, and yourself. It capstone a 30-year career, and I'd like to maybe just start off, frankly, chronologically, and talk about where you're from. If you drive through DeSoto, yeah, they're pretty proud of it. They have it on the side of the road, right?
Yeah, born and raised in DeSoto, small town, obviously, and I think it tells a lot about who I am. I mean, it was one of those places where if you had trouble, you were more concerned that the police would drive home and talk to your mom and dad than they would put you in the back seat. my dad had been mayor, my mom president of school board. My dad ultimately then later on for a number of years, decades, a municipal judge, which doesn't make you very popular when your fellow high school friends are getting tickets and have to go to court and it's your dad that's dealing with them. But that's, of course, a side note of a little relevance here. But, yeah, I think we could walk to our church, which was right up top of the hill. I mean, schools, I walked to school, both grade school and even high school.
So 1960 DeSoto, people look at a map, I think, well, you know, if you're from Sedalia or Willard, Missouri, you look and you see Jefferson County, you think it's St. Louis. DeSoto is not St. Louis. It's far more like Eminence than it is the Central West End.
Even when I ran for office in 86, it was beginning to be two separate counties in a lot of ways. Yeah. The kind of the small towns of the southern half of the district, the north half was basically suburban places to live. And once Bill Bradley left Crystal City, folks forgot a lot about it. I mean, seriously, I mean, the last time I think that Crystal City beat us in basketball was when Bradley was there. But that's a...
You'd pass for a Hall of Famer, I think. Your father was mayor. Mm-hmm. What did that teach you about politics?
Well,
first
of all, public service is something you did.
Yeah.
You were expected to do it. It wasn't an option of should I be involved. I mean, literally at the dinner table, I told people, how'd you get started in politics? Real simple story. When your dad's a mayor and your mom's a president of the school board, we were one of those kind of cleaver families that had dinner every night. 6 o'clock, we had dinner and sit down and at a table. And the phone would ring. And the mayor would look at the president of the school board, and then they look at me and say, hey, you answer it. So I started in politics and constituent service. And so I'd go literally into the kitchen and answer the phone, and sometimes it'd be somebody whose kid got cut from the basketball team or somebody whose sewer backed up or somebody that wanted something, and I'd come back and I would pitch their constituent issue to the table to my mom and dad and my two sisters. My two sisters a little less interested than my mom and dad, and they would discuss it. The lesson from that for me was my mom and dad never asked whether the person was a supporter of theirs or a Democrat or Republican or a contributor, that's what the problem was. And so the thing I remember is taking those problems to literally our own dinner table in a small town and having my mom and dad actually seriously think about what they could do to solve them. For example, my father, I mean, it was right when the Clean Water Act started. DeSoto was straight piping its sewer to the Joachim Creek. Couldn't fish there. I like to fish, obviously. He heard about this clean water stuff that you could get. DeSoto got one of the first clean water grants. We built those initial lagoons there. Ultimately, later on, a sewage treatment plant. The bottom line, by the time I was graduating from high school, you could catch and eat the fish in Joachim Creek and DeSoto. So you were able to see both how they treated it and then tangibly that you could make a difference.
So you go through, you have a more of a nuts and bolts thing. You spend a lot of time being governor, more so than I think. Maybe even your predecessor. There was a lot of time, it seems like, you spent working on state government functions. Does that come from having a family that actually was on the function end? When you're in local politics, you actually have to do the things.
It's that. Plus, I think that I enjoy the craft. I mean, I got in to help people, and anything you can touch to people. I got in to help people, so the first term we focused that. The second term, one of our mantras internally in the transition was, we want to help people that will never know our name and never know we were there. So we were. That's what we're aiming to have a horizon. It's not where the sun went down each day, but on out. So yeah, I think the practicality of solving problems was fun, was very rewarding when you know you're affecting lives out there. And so I not only myself, but I think I put together a team that had that same mentality.
So when you talk about going through and being in that local government, to me it's a really interesting concept. You had 1960 DeSoto. You had parents who I assume would be classified as conservative Democrats. Most folks in DeSoto I know would be more conservative. You were, you know, teenage years early when the 60s were in full flower. What impression did that leave on you, and what did your parents think about that?
I remember my dad went to St. Louis when Martin Luther King was here one time, and it was kind of an interest. Not many people from DeSoto went up to see that. You know, and it was kind of an interesting discussion. And I'm not saying my father was a civil rights pioneer, although he had a belief that everybody was born and raised equal. But he was the kind of curious guy like that was the DeSoto contingent at a Martin Luther King event in St. Louis because he was curious. I mean, because he was engaged and curious. Also carrying forward, I mean, I was real involved in Boy Scouts when I was young, and that was kind of another unifying factor. We formed our own troop because basically each church had a troop, and ours had fallen down, so our troop ended up being the churches that didn't have troops. But to tell you how tied in we were, my Eagle Scout project was to go to grade schools around the area, get questions for public officials, and then I did a radio program on KHAD, whatever it is down there, the radio station in DeSoto, and had these Saturday morning interviews with the mayor and the sheriff and all this sort of stuff with the questions that the kids in the grade schools had given. I've been involved in this stuff. My nerd quotient was exceeding my cool quotient very quickly.
Well, back to the 60s, what impression did that leave on you?
That you can make a difference, that you really can, and that a lot. One of the mantras I think about sometimes is, if you're arguing, you're losing. The people that lose their cool, if you walk in a room and see one person yelling, another person sitting there, or something like that, it's like the person that's yelling is losing their or power, shall we say. And so we tried to really, really respectfully deal with other sides because we're actually trying to solve the problem. And if you're actually trying to solve the problem, then you're deeply interested in why someone across the table from you is against it or has problems with it. And you can only figure out what a solution is if you're willing to listen.
Did it sometimes go too far, though?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rough sport.
I mean, in the 60s, it sometimes go too far.
In which what?
The protests and things like that. Was it?
Yeah, I mean, I was I went to the funeral of a cousin that was killed near the end of the Vietnam War. You know, so this stuff got real.
Yeah.
In your town, as far as the national stuff.
I heard people mention Kent State as I've talked to different folks. Did that leave an impression?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little young, but yes, it did. I mean, and quite frankly, it later played into things that happened. That's one of the reasons I was so committed that we were not going to, on American soil, have an American soldier lower a weapon at an unarmed American citizen in Missouri and pull the trigger. I mean, that you don't, those things, that was one of the, and in fact, I did talk, Ken Dobbins, the former president of SEMO, was at Kent State when that happened. He was getting his, one of his graduate degrees.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. That's, if you see Ken, he really is an, because I asked him about that, because when we were dealing later in my career with some civil unrest issues, I wanted to look at what kind of what the lessons were. I picked that up from Ken, and he was very helpful to me, kind of explaining how dramatic that was and how it's something that he's carried with him the rest of his life.
Let's talk about, since you're at a university, is you went to the University of Missouri. Is that always the plan?
We joke that in the Nixon family, educational options began upon graduation from the University of Missouri Law School. I'm a lawyer. My wife's a lawyer. My oldest son's a lawyer. My dad, mom and dad went there. My mom, not a lawyer, but went to Mizzou. It wasn't really. I applied to one college, I applied to one law school, and I went back home and practiced law. So I was one of these guys that when people come to me for career counseling, perhaps I'm not as good as some because I kind of knew what I wanted to do for a long time.
So it was part of that political?
We were involved, and you assume that. And so I tried to live my life in a way that people would respect. That my seriousness, it wasn't moving back home. I kept voting when I was in college. I didn't change my voter registration to Columbia. The People's Republic of Boone never got my registration.
What was the favorite thing about your time there
at Mizzou?
Yeah.
I came from a pretty small town, and the schools were good, but not as intellectually challenging as University of Missouri. And I just really liked college for the education part. So I took, one of the reasons I took political science degree was the least number of required hours. So you could take only 21 hours required of political science, so you got 100 hours to do other stuff. I think that the people I met there, the breadth, the first time I was actually intellectually challenged. You know, when you're at DeSoto, if you study, you get A. You know, if you're, you know, you can get the grades you want. You know, it wasn't like I was, and I was playing all the sports and debating and being in plays and all that sort of stuff in high school. So I was, I liked the intellectual part of it because it was, I mean, I think it was surprising to people to see kind of a rural kind of kid with a little long hair and kind of, I always came to class getting ready to go play basketball anyway, so I never, like, jeans were up. That was an upgrade of what I looked like in class. So, for example, I took basically every even graduate class around Shakespeare. I took a honors thesis on Hegel. That sort of stuff you're not going to do at DeSoto.
Yeah,
you know, we weren't getting.
Later on, I mean, everybody that's I've talked to about this knows how passionately you are about the University of Missouri. Obviously, it fell on some rough times. Break down why, and how did that, as somebody that loves Mizzou, how does that affect you?
Well, the first thing I want to do is set the record straight, and that is when some people said there were dangers on campus, there weren't. Okay, I was governor at the time. If people were going to be in danger during those First Amendment activities there, I mean, we were well aware of what was going on.
I think those aren't real criticisms.
Well, but I mean, when the president of the university says that in public, subsequent, I just want, and I think that President Middleton was, former President Middleton was very helpful in making sure I just say that.
I mean, candidly, I don't think any serious person can say at any time people were unsafe at the University of Missouri.
I didn't think so. If I would have thought so, you would have seen a lot of action there.
However, there are some people that, there are people that would normally went to the University of Missouri that have chose other education places out of that. And to me, I guess it comes down to, it's set up with a board of curators to be independent. Is there, what could you have done differently to avoid some of that effect of people just not going to Mizzou?
Well, I mean, that without going through excruciating time here, there was just a lot going on in Missouri at the time, and there was a lot of attention on those issues.
Sure.
Because when I was at college, there were protests every day. You know,
did you have the right curators in place and the right president to handle a stressful time, though?
I don't want to be critical of former, certainly not going to be critical of anybody I've appointed to a curator. It's not to insert a parenthetical, really juicy quote that I'm not going to use. I do think that the campus leadership at that time, you had two things going on. One, you had a president that was not directly connected, I didn't think, to the student body at a connection level. And you had a tussle going on between him and the chancellor that was kind of counterproductive, to say the least. And so you lost focus. But I let's not kid ourselves. This became a big issue when the football team didn't want to play.
Sure.
That's what blew this. Otherwise, this is just the normal things that happen on college. If you got in your cars and went to a college campus today, there's a protest going on about something. There just are.
But this campus didn't have a president, maybe up to dealing with that. And maybe my question to you, without getting, I'm not trying to elicit you to say something about him, except that do you think the way the board of curators structure is set up, no one could build Mizzou and be governor more than you. Do you think that is the way it should be set up? If you could draw it up now from scratch, how would you draw it up?
Well, I do think that having an empowered board institutionally separate from the day-to-day workings of Jeff City is important. I think we're seeing things now that show that institutions which are going to be here a long time before the elected officials are here and be here a long time afterwards need to have a continuity of – and I think that the longer terms, the require people from all over the state and all that sort of stuff, it kind of – you could argue it doesn't provide dynamic enough leadership, but you can also argue on the other side of that it prevents big mistakes from happening.
Isn't it meant to put?
So I'm not opposed to
a speed bump between politics and the heat of politics. I mean, you can leave your mark on any state board if you're governor for 8 years, but you do it slowly, and maybe that's the key.
I think it clearly has that. MoDOT has the same thing. DESE has the same thing, where you kind of got these staggered longer terms. I think that's good. I think the downside of it is it has not empowered board members as collectively to be as long term forward thinking as they could be. But all things being said, I think it's an important separation. It's a vital separation, and I don't sit here thinking of a better system.
And, sure.
So
tell me about the role basketball played in your life.
Well, I was never as good as – once I got to be governor, people, even attorney general, people give me much better – my basketball abilities were much more recognized by fellow politicians that didn't play. I played a lot. I mean, that's what we did.
Is the difference in boxing out a lawyer from DeSoto different than boxing out a state senator, than boxing out an attorney general, and boxing out a governor?
No, once you get inside the court, man. If you're like me, I mean, my whole basketball high school career, in essence, was of the memory of the coach saying, "If you're not in the paint, don't shoot."
Well, being tall, that probably helps, right?
I was always like the second string center. My job was to be kind of the enforcer. And I remember kind of the moment later on in life as a state senator when I quit playing serious basketball. I was actually attorney general. I was guarding a guy in a game, a JUCO All-American guy. We were playing a game down in Springfield. And I had my arm right in his back, just kind of blocking him out so he couldn't get in the base. And he was, like, stronger than me, and I'm locked in. I'm pretty strong in the lower body. I was holding him, and he kind of rocking me. Then all at once, he just jumps up and dunks it, two hands over his head, on me. And I said, I think this sport is passing
by. Yeah,
that's
so.
But I played a lot. We played a lot. That's what we did. We had a court at our house where everybody from the neighborhood came, But in DeSoto, you played all the sports. I mean, I played football. I ran track. I played tennis. I was in the debate team. I was in plays. I sang in the choir. I sang a solo at district horribly in music. All of the various things. When you're a small school, you can just do – I mean, I remember getting to college and you would show your high school yearbook to somebody that went to a big school, like a roommate of mine one time went to Riverview. They said, like, you were the whole school. What do you mean? I mean, there's like 10 of you that are doing all that. It's just whatever the ball they roll out, that's the season you do it. I didn't quit growing until I got to college. I was still growing a little bit. So actually the best basketball I played was in college, in law school, I guarded Kim Anderson 2 days after he was cut by the Portland Trailblazers in a C-League game in Columbia and held him to 27 block shots. But I guarded, when we won the Intramural Championship at Mizzou, I guarded Gene Hansborough.
Oh, wow.
Tyler's – Gene sure. is a heck of an athlete. First person to jump 7 foot in high jumper. He made the Olympic trials finals in high jump.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Tyler's dad.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you know the
family. We call him Doc,
Yeah. And but I got and we beat him for the Emerald Championship in a pretty tough game, which he claims to not remember, but I know he does. But anyway,
I bet he does. Yeah,
I held him to 32 points before I fouled out. So you can in the championship game. So you can see my
earn it. Yeah,
I was when people tell how good you were, I was just kind of the guy that passed. And then we live here in University City now, and one of the reasons we like this area is in the summers, I would come up to Heeman Park up here because they had the best outdoor basketball game when I was working, and I would play over there with with all the top players in St. Louis. So, I mean, I'm a guy that's been around and played a little bit, but never was a great player.
Tell me about your wife, First Lady.
Yeah, obviously born and raised in Jeff City. Her father was the first commissioner of education from 1941 to 1976, Hubert Wheeler, and did some tremendous things for education. I mean, when you look at his career, my gosh, took us from almost 5,000 school districts. So there, when the Constitution changed in 45, he was the county superintendent in Marshall in Saline County, and then moved up then to, back then they had county superintendents.
People forget how influential that school superintendent job was.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
he was the first. He was there for a long time. They went from 5,000 school districts to 531. You had the first foundation formula, had all the issues with the litigation with the parochial schools about what books can come, what can't, what's public money. They're involved in the Blaine Amendment. That was involved in all that sort of stuff.
Governor Baker from SEMO went from that job to governor.
Yeah, I mean it's like a real job, and so she's. But we met in law school, but didn't date. We were kind of ships passing there, and then when she came back, she was in New York. She was director of contracts for Moral Publishing. She negotiated book contracts. She's a copyright lawyer. And just wanted to enough trees in New York and to come back home. And when she did, went to work for as Assistant Attorney General, and Webster was Attorney General, worked there a little while, and then became Director of Services from the Missouri Bar. She edited and moved all their publications for them. And then subsequent to that, has been a teacher, has been Vice President of a bank, a great mom.
How did you get her to go out with you, though?
Persistent. No, I mean, we were both a little older, so it was, you know, we joke about our 30-30-30 plan, which is it was 30 years before we got married, 30 years of public service, 30 years of something else, you know. So, I mean, we were at a time in which if we were going to get going, we needed to get going as far as having kids and all that sort of stuff. So it was it happened pretty fast. But she is incredibly well-read and a great, and I thought, quite frankly, she did an incredible job as First Lady of the state. I mean, part of her responsibility was to make sure that people respected the state, and then she didn't get in other people's business, and you know, especially the legislature and folks like that. So she's a great outdoors person too. She and that's one of our favorite pictures, quite frankly. The one of us in the canoe that was taken. We were trying to do bump season. That's on the Current River. Down by Van Buren, and that's a picture taken by the Poplar Bluff paper.
Because
it was on the front page of the Poplar Bluff, and we got it from them. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, because we were trying to do it, and they got into it. Like it was like an October float. We're trying to say, how do we get tourism season going longer? So we tried to find a really nice day in October and get a float and get a picture, and we actually floated. It's the only time our dog was standing still over deer out there, and he was going nuts.
You're well-known at the landing.
So Georgianne's a really good... We like to hike. We like to get out. She won't shoot things. But
well, let me. So you run for state senate. You're 30, right?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you want? Who was the guy leaving?
I announced really early. I announced two years before that. I announced I was only 28 for an office. You got to be 30 for. I want
to. It's ambitious.
I still wasn't a 22-year-old mayor or anything like that. I waited around. It took another 6 years, but no, I just felt. So the incumbent at the time was Jack Gannon, and he came really close to losing the race before to Bill Wunderlich, who ended up being an associate circuit judge. Mm-hmm. I didn't know whether the incumbent was going to run. I assumed he would when I started, and I just felt like Jefferson County was changing. We needed more respect in the region. That we weren't getting our fair. My campaign slogan was our fair share.
You think that's a piece that Jefferson County feels, and also Missourians at large feel sometimes?
Oh yeah, the Show Me State runs deep. Yeah. It's a multifaceted emotional feeling too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like I got in early. figuring I'd run against him. He got out of the race and ended up catching then the sheriff and the presiding commissioner. The sheriff, between the two of them, had, 46 years of undefeated political experience. None of them got less than 60.
And the county Jefferson County, the sheriff can walk on water, I assume.
And he was very popular politically. I remember the...
Did you think about getting out?
No.
Why do you think you could win? I know you could beat the incumbent, but when the race changed, why do you think you could beat those two guys?
I felt like I understood the area, and as the longer I went, the more I felt like I understood. One of the things I did, Scott, at the very beginning of that race, I had a pretty detailed plan for myself, personally. I was practicing law, you know, young guy, but I met with, I'll say everybody, you might find one I didn't, but basically that every, like, person that was head of an elected board. So basically I met with the head of every fire district, the head of every water district, the head of every school board, met with all the school superintendents, met with the mayors, met with the police chiefs. I set the schedule up for a whole year and I listened to them.
Well, geographically though, were these guys from a different part of the county or?
Yeah, you go all the way up to Barnhart. I mean, I remember sitting across from Jules Zimmerman, who was then president of the Rock Township mm-hmm. Fire Protection District, and his house in off 141 in Arnold. And he was a supporter from then on forever because I just asked him, how's the fire district work? What do I need to know about it? What are issues that are important to me? Tell me why you got involved. I just had this feeling that these these folks that were running nonpartisan in these elections were really a target to how do you connect to a community mm-hmm. as opposed to thinking about it as a Democrat. But when you try to be binary, it shuts out a whole lot of creativity and a lot of things. And these folks had been elected on nonpartisan ballots. Were sure. interesting people to me. So meeting on school boards, ambulance district, and you know Jefferson County, we got so many districts. Water districts were invented. Public water district number one is in Arnold, Missouri.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My dad's law partner, Earl Blackwell, former pro tem of the yeah. Senate, moved that bill, and my dad represented public water district, founded and represented public water district number one.
Jeff County folks have always been colorful. Yet the McKenna is right. a guy that left the pro tem. And so what, did you outraise him? Did you outfundraise him?
I raised some money, but I wasn't the guy. I think I ended up spending more than them, sure.
Did you outdoor knock him?
Yeah,
a lot. Were you from a better part of the county?
No. I mean, we're the first ones to kind of take a little bit of modern policy.
Yeah.
The real race was a Democratic primary.
Yes.
And so what we did, we took folks, and we went through the voting record of every single person in the state. And we set up a matrix as by hand back then. You didn't have computers to do that sort of stuff. So we had to go like 3 months in the office of the county clerk. And we put it together a grid of people that we called frequent voters. Mm-hmm. So who's going to vote in a Democratic primary in August? And we went, if they voted, so we had this metric. If they voted in a municipal election, they counted. And so then we merged all that back then without computers to families. So the bottom line is my mailing list was about 198,000 registered voters. Our mailing list was only 23,000. We put together a newspaper that went out basically once a week that yeah. we published that went out to folks, and we built that list up. So we were communicating. So it was interesting because you'd see people and say, are you running? I say, you must not be a voter.
we looked at science to it.
Yeah, first poll we did, we looked at, you know, it was between the other guys, I was down like 84-4 or something like that. I'm there with my committee at like 4. I said, well.
And you didn't think about saving your powder, running for a House seat?
Senate interested me. I never was really interested in the House or Congress for that matter, you know, and House of Representatives and Congress. I mean, Senate to me always was, it was really for me whether to run for prosecutor or run for state sure. senator. They were countywide offices. They gave you a big enough base because at that time you could then ultimately, we had been redistricted into the third. If you want to run for mm-hmm. Congress and you had 35% of the vote in Jefferson County, you could go that way. But so Senate.